Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. And all those who have come to worship via Zoom as well. I think I see Bill on the Zoom as well. Welcome. Very nice. I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit you individually and speak to your heart and touch you like no one can. I see very interesting things in the bulletin this morning. You know, when I prepare, I don't communicate the message. I don't communicate with others. And, you know, it's the message that God placed in me in my heart, and I work on it and deliver the message. And it goes well with the children's message that Deb prepared, and you will hear from Young later on. She has prepared a song that just fits perfectly with the message that I have prepared. So this is a sort of a confirmation to me that the message that I'm about to hear is something that God speaks to each and every one of us. This story is about a man named Philip who inherited $10 million. It's not my story. The will provided that he had to accept it either in Chile or Brazil. He chose Brazil. Unhappily, it turned out that in Chile, he would have received his inheritance in the land on which uranium, gold, and silver had just been discovered. Once in Brazil, he had to choose between receiving his inheritance in coffee or nuts. He chose the nuts. Too bad. The bottom fell out of the nut market, and the coffee went up to $3 a pound wholesale, unroasted. Poor Philip lost everything he had to his name. He went out and sold his gold watch for the money he needed to fly home. It seems that he had enough for a ticket to either New York or Boston. He chose Boston. When the plane for New York taxied up, he noticed it was a brand new 747 jumbo jet with red carpets and chic people and wine-popping hostesses. The plane for Boston then arrived. It was a 1928 Ford Trimotor with a sway back, and it took a full day to get up the ground. It was filled with crying children and tethered goats. Over the Andes, one of the engines fell off. Our man, Philip, made his way up to the captain and said, "I am a jinx on this plane. Let me out if you want to save your lives. Give me a parachute." The pilot agreed, but added, "Over this plane, anybody who bails out must wear two chutes." So Philip jumped out of the plane, and as he fell dizzily through the air, he tried to make up his mind which ripcord to pull. Finally, he chose the one on the left. It was rusty, and the wire pulled loose. So he then pulled the other handle. This chute opened, but its shroud lines snapped. In desperation, the poor fellow cried out, "Saint Francis, save me!" A great hand from heaven reached down and seized the poor fellow by the wrist and let him dangle in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice asked, "Saint Francis Xavier or Saint Francis of Assisi?" Brian would understand the Catholic saints. I do not know the ending of the story, but I'm glad that it wasn't me. Have you ever regretted a decision or decision you made in your past. Once we choose a path, we cannot turn our clock back. We wish we had altered our course, but we cannot. America's famed poet, Robert Frost, in the 20th century, wrote a poem about it, with which we are very familiar. And let me read it for you. The road not taken. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that the passing there had won them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. He tried to discern which path would be a better option. He examined the condition of the two roads and see which road is traveled more, but cannot see it all the way. He chooses one and think about coming back. He would not return to the fork and may regret the choice he makes. This poem basically describes the dilemma everyone faces when he or she makes a decision. People can see what lies ahead within the range of their vision, but they cannot see their path all the way and would suffer from the consequences of their decisions. Now, the Magi would have faced a similar circumstance when returning to their country. They traveled over 600 miles on rugged terrain from Persia to Bethlehem. It was a tiresome journey, but worth it. After fulfilling their mission, they would have wished that their return travel would be easy. An easy path was, of course, a familiar route. They learned of shelters to get rest, places to replenish supplies, and springs where they and their camels could drink water from. On a familiar path, they could even develop a shortcut. However, God intervened and told them to take a different route for return. So now they had two choices of travel. Should they travel on an accustomed path or discover a new one? Their preference would have been the one on which they had already traveled, but God directed them to take an inexperienced one. In the ancient days, international travel was not something to be excited about. Not many people traveled outside their home country. Not good accommodation was available, and means of travel were very uncomfortable and wearisome. The Magi would not have wanted to suffer from inconveniences traveling on a new route again. Now think about the traveling. Both the Old Testament and New Testament have more stories of God's chosen people traveling on new path. God told Abraham to leave his homeland to go to Canaan, of which Abraham had no knowledge. It's like almost the same distance that the Magi had traveled and same direction that Abraham took, but he had no idea. where he was going. Joseph was sold to merchant who took him to Egypt. Joseph learned later that God allowed it to save Joseph's family from famine in Canaan. Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt into a desert. God used Joshua to lead Israel back to Canaan. When Israel abandoned their faith in God, God exiled them to the neighboring nations. As a result, people in those nations learned of the God of Israel. In all this, God constantly broke geographical boundaries and relocated his people. It was what happened at the first Christmas. God broke the geographical boundary for salvation by bringing the Magi from a Gentile nation. The Apostle Paul became the pioneer to take the gospel outside Israel. Today, the gospel does not see geographical boundaries. We tend to abide within our own geographical boundaries, so-called comfort zones. But God often leads us into new paths and locations outside our comfort zones. So that's exactly, I mean, it wasn't just taking, the new path in terms of that abstract concept. It was literally, physically taking the new path that God was leading his people to. During the new year, we would arrive at many folks to choose new path as the Magi and people of faith in the Bible did. Using all our intellectual tools and advice from others, we may think of specific ways that appear suitable for us. We surely do not want our decision to turn out to be the opposite of what we desire. And there is one good example of that. And that is Putin. And I'd like to share you about the wrong decision he made. Putin's, by a human calculation, he invaded Ukraine and he thought it was a good decision, but it turned out to be a wrong decision. His aggression toward his neighbor in the West seemed workable for him. He calculated that gas and oil from Russia could become one of the best war weapons, especially during this winter. So he cut the gas supplies back in September, and the gas prices in Europe skyrocketed. Putin expected that the European countries could not survive the winter without gas supply from Russia, and they would come and beg him for gas and give in. Was his calculation correct? It wasn't. The following is an article that the LA Times carried yesterday, January 7th. And let me read that for you. Britain had its hottest year on record in 2022. Since comparable data began to be compiled in 1884, unlike the US and Canada, which have been hit by bitter cold and snowstorm, much of Europe is experiencing unreasonably warm weather. The average temperature last year in France was above 57.2 degrees, making it the hottest year since the weather reading began there in 1900. Switzerland's Meteorological Service said that the nation's annual average temperature of 45.3 degrees was by far the highest value since the measurement began in 1864. Spain also had its hottest year since records started in 1961, according to the National Weather Agency, EMET, with the average daily temperature of 57 degrees. I mean, it's almost like Southern California. In Germany, the year ended with the warmest New Year's Eve on record, with the temperature reaching 68 degrees in the south of the country. Belarus, Belgium, and the Czech Republic, Latvia, Poland, and the Netherlands all set national record daily highs for December 31st or January 1st. As 2023 begins, many lows and medium altitude ski resorts in Alps and Pyrenees and other European mountain ranges are experiencing a lack of snow. In Bosnia, spring-like weather has foiled even artificial snow. Either it's too warm to make it, or it melts soon after being spread out onto sky slopes. Along the slope in Bjelašnia near Sarajevo on Wednesday, snow accumulation amounted to little more than several patches on an otherwise grassy landscape. Have you seen a picture of the house in a mountain in Alps? It's like, you know, it was covered with snow, used to be, and then the other side, exactly the same location, shows no snow but grass. In conclusion, Putin's conventional wisdom failed badly. Why is it last year? It was a record hard. We can tell that God is not on Putin's side at all. How do we choose the right path, which we will not regret later? At watershed moments, we experience a conflict of interest. Our senses may disagree with what God intends for our future. One path over the other may seem better to our eyes, but may not be good in God's eyes. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." The way that leads to death sounds like the narrow gate that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." After encountering the Messiah in Bethlehem, the faith entered into Magi. They were wise. That's why they were called wise men. But they did not rely on their wisdom, but on God's word to them to choose their path. So the Magi took a new route, a narrow path, by faith. We call their journey a faith journey. May we choose the path of faith, even when other route may seem fair to our eyes. For we should walk by faith, not by sight. Amen.